How important is the runoff in January of the two Senate seats? That's what we're going to talk about for the next 15 minutes for this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is a returning favorite, Bill Federer, best-selling author and speaker. His latest book is on socialism. His classic book is called America's God and Country. And by the way, I have seen that book in the homes and in the studies of all kinds of movers and shakers. It's just a fantastic resource. And Bill, it's always a great pleasure to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, Jerry, great to be on.
Sure. Now, you yourself ran for Congress, so you know personally what it's like, you know, to deal with the political realm. And you had some tremendous endorsements. And if nothing else, you spared the country through your running for Congress. You spared the country from a Dick Gephardt presidency. Heaven forbid. Okay, so let's talk about Georgia. First of all, it's my understanding that the law itself requires, the law in Georgia, requires that if the votes are so close, then that means they have to have a runoff. And I think in both cases, the two Republicans won, but not by enough of a margin to avoid this runoff, correct?
Yes, and the unless they get rid of the voter fraud, then we have reason to doubt the legitimacy of a runoff. So voter fraud is a serious issue that you know, I personally experienced 20 years ago, and the thought is, have they cleaned it up since then, or have they perfected it since then? And for those not familiar, I ran against, as you mentioned, Gephardt. He was the Nancy Pelosi before the Nancy Pelosi. It was historic in the fact that we had the top three members of Congress come in to the district and campaign against him. So that would be like Kevin McCarthy and the other top Republicans going out to California and campaigning in Nancy Pelosi's district against her. And we had Ted Nugent do a commercial, Chuck Norris, James Dobson, Zig Ziglar, Art Linkletter all endorsed me, and it was the most expensive congressional race in Missouri history. Gephardt funneled $9 million out of the Democrat Leaders Victory Fund and others to spend. And we had the president's uncle, Bucky Bush, chair my finance committee, and we raised $3 million. But we experienced on election night a volunteer calling and saying that the ballots from the Gulfview Elementary School were lost. And that happened to be the polling place that I stood in front of all day on election day.
Oh.
And then one time we, the computers in Jefferson County, Hillsborough, Missouri, I was ahead, and then the electricity goes off in the entire building. And when they reboot it, we go from being ahead to behind. Oh. And then they left people's names off the registered voter list. People went in to vote. Their name wasn't there, so they brought a lawsuit to keep the polls open late. This was an emergency, right? Well, the next day they find out the person that brought the lawsuit had died 2 years earlier. Oh. The whole thing was a sham. And then people calling my office saying, we went in to vote for you, and your name wasn't on the ballot in five wards in the city of St. Louis. And of course, they all promised to fix it the next election time. It's like, well, wait a second. What about this one? And if they win, then you have the fox guarding the hen house. They're not going to find themselves guilty. And so they've been, in my estimation, perfecting these tactics. They need an excuse to blame the irregularity on. In this case, it happens to be the COVID and the instead of going through the constitutions of these states, where it's the state legislature only that sets the voting rules. But because of the COVID, you had these governors saying arbitrarily, we're going to just throw out that, we're going to leave the polls open, we're going to, you know, that's totally unconstitutional. But they needed a something to blame this usurpation of power on.
But there's something that you said, you know, early on in this discussion that troubles me. I don't want anybody listening in Georgia to think, well, you know, they cheated before, and so if I go out and vote, what's the use? Because they'll cheat again. I think Newt Gingrich said it really well. He said, we have to show up in such great force that will offset all of Stacey Abrams' attempts to steal our vote this time around.
Right, right. The people that do this type of research said that when Hillary was running against Trump, she expected about 6% national voter fraud, and that would be enough to put her over. There was such an overwhelming response for Trump that it totally caught all of their machines' tactics off guard. So in other words, yes, as you mentioned, we need to have an overwhelming turnout in Georgia to overcome any of their potential tactics, but at the same time put pressure on them, because if we talk about this, then it'll make it more difficult for them to do these shenanigans. So complete voter turnout in overwhelming numbers is a must, and then also pressure on politicians to be forthcoming in their efforts to crack down on fraud.
Okay, one of the means that there's been alleged fraud was taking ballots and then not requiring signature matches and so forth. Can you explain what that is and how does that work and how could that impact this runoff?
Right. So if you wanted to get an absentee ballot, you had to go down and sign, and then that when you go into a voting place, you sign. But if you're doing mail-in ballots, then you have to sign something, and they match up the signature of the person that is the registered voter with the return of the ballot. And when they had this emergency, they threw those rules out and said, mm-hmm. We don't have to match up signatures, which is an open door for voter fraud. I tell people the word voting, voters, elections, electors, these words appear in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights numerous times, but never once does it tell you how to have an honest election, an honest voting. They assumed that everybody would be God-fearing and would not do anything corrupt. It was beyond the scope of their imagining back then. But once you get rid of the knowledge of God, the fear of God, our accountability to God, it's just a power grab. And it's called consequentialism, where if you're convinced the consequence of your actions is good, then anything's necessary to get there is justified. This Machiavellian attitude, the ends justifies the means. And so if one party, if you think of it for a moment, if they can, on their party platform, justify the killing of innocent babies,
yes,
what's voter fraud compared to that? I mean, if they can justify that, then they can justify just about any action.
Yep.
And so we're at a place in our country's history where if we're not going to have internal moral restraints, we need to have more external restraints. We need to have more transparency. And for anyone that has done the research, I spent 2 years with Phyllis Schlafly before she died, collecting all the stories of voter fraud from her Eagle Forum members all across the country. And the bottom line is, with computer voting, you have to make a choice. You either have accountability or anonymity. You cannot have both. If you want to have computers involved, you have to be able to trace it back to the transaction, to the event that the actual person that voted and who they voted for. You have to be able to track it back to that. Otherwise, you cannot have accountability. You'll have anonymity, where you don't know who voted for what candidate, but you cannot have accountability. The best way to get back to it is go back to paper ballots. Sounds simple, but you have each precinct sit there and they count and recount the ballots till they all agree on it, Republican, Democrat, whoever. They sign off on it. They tape it on the window. Then they collect the ballots and ship it off to the Board of Election, and then they can run it through whatever machines they want. But if you're a candidate, you can drive around to all the polling places, look at all the windows, and collect the numbers and add them up, and it better equal what they talk about on TV that night. Right now, it's the equivalent of, telling a cashier at Walmart, don't count the cash in your cash register. We'll just count it when it gets to the bank. And it opens the door for lots of people to pilfer in the meantime. So it needs to be counted right there at the cash register. It needs to be counted right there at the precinct level before anything else happens. And you do that with paper ballots. People say, oh, how can you do that with millions of ballots? You break it down. You said precincts are small. I mean, it might take them an hour or two or a couple hours. I mean, we recount. We do hand recounts of these ballots. How long does that take? And so you can hand recount things. You can hand count paper ballots. And we just need to go back to that.
Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, especially with the, you know, former President Trump or whatever, fighting for his political life here, claiming that there was voter fraud, and yet Bill Barr, the attorney general, said, nope, nothing to see here, time to move on. The media, of course, but they're anti-Trump. That's a given. Big tech, same thing. You know, if Trump tweets out something related to, you know, this election was stolen, then Twitter puts, you know, some sort of disclaimer. These are unproven allegations. And then courts, many different courts, although it's my understanding that the courts have not ruled against the voter fraud, saying there's no evidence of voter fraud. It's more like they've just basically ruled against making a ruling, if that makes sense. But what are your thoughts on this? That you know, Trump has been fighting an uphill battle trying to say, yeah, there's voter fraud here, and everybody else is saying, no, there's not. It's time to move on. Even Pat Robertson.
Yeah, so the little history. After World War II, Germany, France, England give independence to their former colonies, and they start brand new countries with brand new leaders, and they're climbing out of the post-war crisis at the promising world, except the Soviet Union decides it wants to export communism around the world. So it sends KGB agents into these countries, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Poland, Lithuania, and they would identify groups with grievances.
Yeah.
Ethnically, religiously, economically, and then they would organize protests and riots that would cause the country to panic, and then they would co-opt the media with bribes and threats to blame the current leader of the country for all of the problems.
Wow.
And they would even have the media release false polling data showing the popular leader as unpopular. So when they would do their coup, people wouldn't complain. 45 countries fell to communism this way. And Truman does nothing because he thinks the United Nations that he helped form will bring world peace. But Eisenhower's the next president.
Yeah, well, we've discussed this about Iran and the Shah and so forth. And we have less than 2 minutes left. So, Bill, what do you recommend we do as far as Georgia and make sure that the Senate seats don't fall to the left? Because after all, if the left is so great, why do they have to cheat to win?
Everybody get out and vote. And number two, scream bloody murder, that they need to clean up the voter rolls and have audits of every single machine. There's programs you can test them the day before, the day after, and they'll work perfect, but they're date-sensitive fraud. So it only will commit the fraud on the date. There's others where it is accessed through modems. And the modems are owned usually by foreign companies. And the software, there's lots of different access to the machines during the polling that is not audited. There needs to be, at the very least, random auditing. Pick up, you know, one out of every 10 machines and test it, sort of like what they do at the airport when they say, you've been selected for a random screening.
Yeah, yeah.
We at least need to do that. But I think every single machine ought to be audited. And we need to have this looked into. Otherwise, we'll never have another honest election in American history. It'll just be there were lawsuits when they first came out with these machines of the salesmen going to the county officials saying, hey, if you give us the contract, we'll make sure you get elected. And so they had court hearings about this, that they could preset it.
Wow, we're basically out of time. That's very, very scary. I want to give you a website. It's AmericanMinute.com for all of Bill Federer's great books. Bill, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, bye-bye.